Hello, dear listeners. This is Worry Goblins, a brand new show. And the show is about buzzwords, pop culture, and the internet through the decades with your friendly but hostile neighborhood goblins, only on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional ancestral unceded land of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. I'm your host, Hannah, and...
And I'm your host, Tasha.
Whoa, we're finally doing this.
I know. Two of us hosting together. Equal playing field.
Yep.
Both goblins.
Friendly but hostile.
That's such an accurate way to describe the way we're going to approach this in general.
It just felt like I needed to repeat that.
Yeah. Kind-hearted, but you're going to have to go through some layers to get there.
All right. I mentioned, this is our very first episode of our brand new show, so excuse us if we are awkward and random.
Oh my god. What? Oh, that caught me so off guard. Our intention...
You're welcome.
...is to do a sort of Sunday driver approach to language analysis. Like, we are not trained scholars in linguistics, but we like words.
Mm-hmm.
And we always kind of have these conversations that end up coming to the core, like what word is being used very often to describe a certain cultural phenomenon. And Hina and I had this long conversation about the early aughts and our obsession with being awkward or so random. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the awkward random phenomenon.
Yeah, that's a great description. Thank you. So, Tasha, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because we're doing a deep dive into words and internet lingo and language in general, what has your relationship with words been?
My relationship with words in general has always been just like very, very romantic at heart, I think, my whole life, because I've always like fancied myself a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So words have been really exciting and weird, and I've always liked to play with them, which is, of course, not everyone's approach to language or conversation, but words are also a way of connection and communication. So while I like to play, I like to mispronounce things on purpose, I also recognize that like you have to baseline communicate with people around you. And so I think maybe my relationship has always been like, I want to play, but I also want to be listened to and heard.
Mm-hmm.
So finding that balance, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So when I was thinking about this question and I thought, I'm curious what Tasha's relationship has been. For me, it has been romantic and whimsical for sure. I mean, did I want to be a writer living in New York? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The dream. But I have this image of me when I was 4 years old stuck in my head only because I've heard the story from my mom so many times and I think of it more as an imagined memory because I don't have any memory of this. But my mom used to tell me that one time we went to somebody's house and there were a lot of kids and my mom was excited that, I can play with all these kids. And there were like all these nice toys and stuff. However, she found me sitting in a corner amongst like those picture books, just like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. There's just something about it. And I'm like, okay. And so I don't know if my mom's... purpose of telling the story was, you were a bit of a weirdo, or like, you were really interested in books and words just early on.
Focused.
Yeah.
A portrait of your past self as your future self, for
I know.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm always just intrigued by that of, instead of socializing or, like, playing with toys, I was just kind of just sitting on a pile of books and just, like, going through them, and I don't know.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you remember when you learned how to read? Like, do you have a memory of that? Because I have a distinct memory of recognizing a word for the first time, and
really?
It was Home Depot as we were passing it in the car. And it was this, like, strange click. Like, I felt my brain just kind of, like, shift into place. And
big
I mean,
brain.
That's, like, what... Yeah, it was big brain. Well, like, little baby big brain.
Yeah.
What language can do, which is this just like moment of like understanding. Like I felt like I'd mm-hmm. suddenly slotted into the world. Like I recognized that Home Depot was a place that my mom dragged me to that I hated, and I could read it. I recognized it, and I was like,
yeah,
indoctrinated.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, definitely. And language is also so much about community, yes, but also, I don't know. I think of how I took my favorite classes in school were history and English, of course, very on brand.
You journalist.
And just language classes and taking it very seriously of like what you said, wanting to be heard and to be taken seriously and stuff. And also a little weird anecdote about my dad where he would just call me a teacher because I am the oldest kid. And it was interesting because I did also want to become a teacher when I grew up. So it's kind of like looking at it through so many different ways of like teaching and sharing knowledge and I don't know, reading and writing and
expressing something yeah. ineffable.
Yes. But also, know? Yeah, actually, no. Now I think of it, it's also a way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that was a little 101 from us, I guess. Bias office. Yeah, so you already talked about what we are hoping to do. We are giant nerds, for better or for worse, and not experts, so please don't quote us.
No, it's only sort of something that I'm like in a very cursory way interested in. I think probably like most people who are interested in writing have some degree of interest in words and linguistics and etymology. Like,
for sure.
I think when we really try to distill down a thought into a mm-hmm. sentence, it's like what word is going to really have all the gestures that it needs in a sentence. And so like I come at this from, you know, someone who hasn't studied it, but I certainly have thought about it a lot and just feel like language is just like this crazy, I don't know, like open source project, you know, that everyone is like contributing to all the time and it keeps changing.
Yeah.
And we get grumpy about it. Like Hannah and I collectively will just like begrudge various words and slang for no good reason until we fully understand it. And then we're like a little bit more open to it.
And then we start using it when people have moved on, which is really embarrassing.
Quite embarrassing. That's the little kid in the corner with the book for you. Like, you got to learn it first and you have to understand it, break it down, and then you can use it. I don't jump on the bandwagon very easily, but I will jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I can be confused and be on the bandwagon at the same time.
No, absolutely not.
No.
Too embarrassing.
No. And, you know, it's also this morbid fascination of just kind of not being able to let go and kind of having it in your brain like over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it finally clicks and you're like, holy, yeah, now I'm on the bandwagon. Wait for me.
Yeah.
So, random and awkward.
Yeah. So maybe first let's start with like, do you want to give a little bit of a introduction to like, how you came across these words, what they mean to you, where you come at them from?
Yeah, if I'm talking through purely my experience, it's hard to really pinpoint, right? Especially when you're like growing up and you're a teenager, and you want to be cool and whatever. Everyone's like kind of moving from trend to trend. This was, looking back, perhaps sometime in 2007-ish time period where everything and everyone was random and awkward. And it's so funny because it was a catch-all for essentially so many situations that we were experiencing and simultaneously trying to document online very poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. We documented these awkward/random feelings online in the best ways we could with the best tools we had at mm-hmm. our disposal. And I'm likewise similar to you in that it was like early aughts, and it probably put me in like awkward middle school slash early high school. So, I mean, it goes without saying that like I would have been like being an awkward teen. So it makes sense that that word would have just clung to me. There's nothing that's not awkward about those years, but it was, I think, outside of that, like my personal experience was part of the zeitgeist. We were all so random, and everybody was awkward, and we all took those photos where we had our little shoes pointing towards each other, you know, doing the pigeon-toed kind of twee thing. Music reflected this a lot, I think. Just because I'm nerdy and I'm interested in these things, I see a huge crossover, too, in, like, the kind of indie twee musical moment of the early aughts when we were all kind of obsessed with random, awkward, absurdity things, and at the same time, this sort of like infantilization, you know, really clinging to it. So as a result, we got music that was sometimes quite cute and a lot of like xylophone and kind of like really lo-fi, like off-the-cuff singing that was not super well trained or articulated.
It curated.
Was like, yeah. A lot of that happened in a big cauldron.
Yeah, totally. And we were essentially the prime random and awkward audience as we were like coming of age and really just growing into the internet, right? Because it's very interesting. Like, yes, we are the first generation growing up with social media, but that I have and every millennial, or at least, I don't know, like mid-millennial, has this distinct of like pre-dial-up internet time and then post-dial-up internet era and then Wi-Fi. So this is also such a good launching point for just like talking about millennial humor in general, right? Which was silly and earnest and cringe, I guess.
Yeah, anything that has like passed its time becomes embarrassing because we're always going to be embarrassed of our pasts.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, to a fault, I'm not. But that makes sense.
Just as a culture, right? Mm-hmm. And to think, I was doing some research and how a lot of millennial comedy, internet humor was dramatic, cutesy, and really just stuffed with a lot of randomness.
Yeah.
And it was strange. Yeah, it's hard to even talk about it because it didn't make sense. And that's what made sense about it, because life doesn't make sense.
Very true. Life is absurd and weird. Mm-hmm. And it's a proper response.
Yep.
Something that I also think about a lot in relation to like why these terms gained popularity is that in the change from web 1.0 over to web 2.0, which was this big moment of like web 1.0 was kind of defined by like, it was before me, so I'm a novice, excuse me. But there were like what was known as bulletin boards, where people would essentially, it's like forum posting in the late 90s, I guess, to just a way of communication, but it was very hard to penetrate. And then Web 2.0, you saw the introduction of like GeoCities and like user-generated content, people making stuff and connecting over shared interests. But what's something that people don't often talk about is within Web 2.0, you had that GeoCities moment, and then we swiftly moved into like MSN, AOL, Facebook, and this like direct peer-to-peer, almost like instantaneous conversation. And so we have this moment where you're being socialized either in the sort of slow post early Web 2.0, or you're being socialized in the like fast-paced profile making, MySpace, AIM, that kind of thing. And there are two different attitudes towards the internet, I think. With the first one being a little bit more like people are coming together over this like place where they can share their interests. Whereas the period in which I was socialized online was the former, where I was coming of age online and being intensely socialized by instantaneous conversation with people that I knew in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was immediately in my young brain putting together people that I knew in middle school and high school with their online display pictures and personalities. And I think that that moment of like absurd clashing of things really led to like this attitude of like surreal kind of in between worlds.
Yeah.
Made you feel quite awkward, made everything just random because it was like my attitude was like, this is like a sort of a novel thing. Like, I think our attitude was like the internet is novel and it is strange. And so we all became to Penguin of Doom.
Yeah, no, that's so fascinating. And I experienced it in a similar way as well, where there was this sort of like absurdism about it, if you will. And my parents, I mean, right now, most of us, if not all of us, are chronically online in whatever way, in some or the other way, right? But at least how I think of it, it was almost kind of like this best kept secret in the sense that my parents weren't online. And so I had this kind of this whole other persona online, which like in my brain, I'm like, oh, not very many people know about it. Or we had really wacky our first Hotmail IDs,
yeah,
or just, I don't know, just like wacky MSN names and stuff. And it was, again, this kind of like alt ego and knowing people by their username. And yeah,
I mean, even just that moment of like your parents didn't know who or what you were doing online, you could express this entirely different like way of being, this like strange subjectivity that you had online that you couldn't explain to your parents, because you were socialized in that way.
Yeah,
is quite different now, because even when we say things like chronically online, it's just like a mundane thing to say. It's not like, it doesn't separate you in any way to say that you are online, but there was a time in which being online was like a defining factor.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the reason that random awkward probably died out so fast, same with that millennial humor moment of like epic bacon, the sort of like
hashtag
epic in general, and then some insert random thing, lol sauce, etc.
Rage comics, lolcat.
Lolcats, Doge voice in general.
Oh,
all of that died out when it no longer became this novel thing to be online. It just became commonplace.
Yeah.
And so perhaps now the like no longer sort of making special the being online kind of got rid of random awkward in general.
Yeah. That's definitely a really good point. And it's almost, I don't know if you want to call it like democratization or like it's just utilitarian, because everybody is engaging with different platforms in some way or the other. And there are sort of like monopolies on different social media platforms which are being sold to like specific generations. And I think about lolspeak and how that was just something really silly and funny to do. Just like talk in pen twister. Incorrect grammar. I don't know. Did it make sense? Not at all. But it was just this kind of decontextualized humor.
Yeah.
It could be just anything, and it was absurd, and you could make whatever out of it you will, and it was funny.
There is also this sense of, like, performative formality. I don't know if you remember that moment, and it mostly for me existed on places like Reddit.
Oh, yeah, like, hold my beer, or, like, what was the other one? The Keep Calm, which Oh, I hate it.
My goodness.
When it just had started.
Yeah, but... I will not keep calm.
Don't tell me what to do.
It's like there's two sides to the coin. One was the performative formality where you're kind of like doing the, like, you, sir, have won the internet thing.
You're right.
And it was very, I don't know, it's very like masculine feeling. It felt like I was putting on this college humor voice, which... I suppose I associate in some ways with masculinity just because it felt like that was the tone of the internet back then. But the flip side of that is what we were saying, the like the infantilization, the like doggo speak, the like I can has cheeseburger moment, where it's the complete opposite. And those things just coming clashing together is itself very arbitrary. It's very random. That's how we learned to be online. And that's sort of what that language starts to convey, is just like... surrealism, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like out of bodiness. I think maybe this feeling of being out of body is important if you use these two kind of clashing tones together and imagery that seems not to make total sense, and just you like spiral down to the bottom of a meme just to find something really dumb. It's very out of body. It's very disconnected.
And totally.
I think that's how we were feeling when we began to communicate this way.
Through memes? Through photos?
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, no, absolutely. There was just going back to like doggo speak. Very amaze, much wow.
Yeah, oh my God.
And you could put that, you can slam that on anything without that quintessential dog, and it would still make sense. It's like, oh yeah, I know what this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can't remember where I picked this up, but someone wrote that like emojis were communication, emojis take on the form of gesture, like when we're speaking to each other and we're gesturing with our hands and stuff, is kind of a gesture without the body there.
Wow.
And I think maybe in some ways this, like, these broken down like little bits of like meme speak are also gestures, but they point to you being in the in-group of someone who knows about this very thing, someone who is on 4chan, God forbid, or, you know, someone who toils in the depths of Reddit or Newgrounds. It kind of is just like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like an in-group thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I mean, this is pretty obvious, but just kind of tapping at the universality of human experience, and we're all going through this at the same time and just trying to make sense of a lot of things that don't make sense.
Yep.
I remember this distinct moment, and this is maybe 2010, 2011, when MTV launched a show called Awkward, of course.
Of course.
And it was a big moment. I just remember talking to my friends, and this is when I had just graduated high school, and we were like, oh, we finally feel seen, or we're being represented because we're all awkward.
Oh, God.
And it's just so funny to me to think back of, like, how there was so much buzz around that. And as you would imagine, the protagonist was someone who was very accident-prone and very quirky. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's like subtle charm. And then, of course, there's like a jock. And then who would have thought he takes a liking for her? And so, yeah, like obviously all those tropes. But like back then, that was just kind of the zeitgeist, and people were like really eating that up, right? And so I just think of how, like, just kind of towards the end of that awkward random era, there was this TV show.
Too late, MTV.
But but then it's also kind of just like, oh, did it come full circle?
Or did they collapse it entirely? Once they put out a show and they slapped the word on it, it feels like it was almost on its way out.
Yeah. No, exactly.
The earnestness of it just kind of dissipated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, yeah, no, that's that just comes to mind. And do you have any final thoughts before we take a break?
I have trained my whole life for this conversation because I have spent too much time being socialized on all these various websites before
Your
the monopoly of platforms. Yeah, my moment is here. I am present. I am lol sauce. I don't care. I think maybe the last thing I'll say is that I just feel that like this little era, this moment of earnesty has died with awkward kind of leaving the picture a little bit. I think things are far more layered in reference and irony now. And
oh, yeah. It's big time.
Yeah. This was, it maybe it's just because we were young, but this was a moment of like just a lack of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And because of that, earnesty. And because of that, Doge speak.
That's a lovely way to sum up the segment. Okay, so we have a lot more to share because, as Tasha said, we've been preparing for this for our entire lives. And I am going to, or we're going to actually, play some music for you, and we will be right back.
The image of the dead, dead ends in my took 10 of pills today. I got bruises on my thighs, plus I gave away my brain. I'm the dumbest girl alive. I got lightning in my veins. Walk around like Frankenstein. I did science on my face. I'm the dumbest girl alive. Never ask me what I think. Don't know why you even try, cause I always get it wrong. I'm the dumbest girl alive. Money coming from my mouth. Money coming from my eyes. And I keep on losing count. I'm the dumbest girl alive. And I'm picking up the pace. I'm so happy I could die. Put emojis on my grave. I'm the dumbest girl alive. And I feel so dangerous. But you say I'm doing fine now. Guess that's how it goes. I'm the dumbest girl alive. Text, 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 text. Like you're trying to start a fight. Yeah, I'll fucking text you back. I'm the dumbest girl alive.
Is there something in your eye? Can you show me how?
Can you show me how?
This day is happening May 18th, and we are discussing how spaces can be more inclusive through accessibility related to performance. Along with these discussions, there will also be live performances from Vancouver's Adapted Music Society by Rachel Ransom, who is performing at 12 p.m. on May 18th, showcasing catchy melodic songs and thoughtful lyrics, along with another performance at 1 p.m. on May 18th by 77 Spokes, who is a spiritually driven, conscious hip-hop lyricist who has been writing songs and rapping for the last 20 years. Be sure to tune in on May 18th to CITR on CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca to catch these performances along with interviews.
The 22nd edition of DOXA Documentary Film Festival returns May 4th to 14th, 2023. This year, DOXA is once again returning to local theaters. CITR and Discorder Magazine are a proud partner of Ma Saigon, a feature-length documentary by Montreal-based filmmaker Kwa Le that constructs a dynamic ode to Saigon's queer and trans communities through a series of intimate character portraits. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets. And we hope to see you there. Where do you go to cry? Where do you go to scream? Where do you go to sing at the top of your lungs and play instruments and be free? You can join UBC Cry Club. UBC Cry Club provides instruments and a judgment-free zone for people to let loose and be free using music as therapy. UBC Cry Club meets at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays at the Fraser River Parkade. For more information, go to M01E on Instagram.
Sit back, relax.
Don't miss Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, with plenty of funk, soul, surf, and more music. Wednesdays, 8 to 10 a.m. on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter, at Jack Velvet Radio. Find us online at jackvelvet.net.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to We're Goblins on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. What's good?
We are your hostile word goblins.
Yes.
Here to not let it go.
Never.
We won't do it.
Nope. Yeah, so we're talking about Random and Awkward Era, which is a bit of a bygone.
Yeah.
To say the least.
It is quite literally dead.
Yes.
Staked in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those words are seldom used without irony.
Yeah.
I would say.
You were never ironic saying it.
No. I don't think I knew how to be ironic until like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's interesting to see that shift. And I mean, this is something I already mentioned, and this is not news anymore, how millennials are aging out of the internet zeitgeist, which is quite jarring, at least I think so. And I think, again, the reason being that, I don't know, or maybe it's just us being self-involved in I don't know, weird self-loathing way. That was a very complicated sentence, but it's more so just because you can really feel the impact, because everything is so loud on the internet. There's so much noise, and so you can't miss it.
And here's the other thing. I think, at least for me, because I was socialized online in this moment where everything was like very, very strange and very weird and very novel, and not everyone was doing it. You still had some friends that weren't on MSN. You still had people without email addresses. So it felt like a very special thing.
Yeah.
And I have always treated it that way. Yeah. Like, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was nerdy. It was weird.
Yeah.
Right now, there's no line. There's no, like, person that is totally offline and person that is totally online. No. Everyone just does it.
You can't escape it.
Yeah. Two worlds, real life. Yeah. And the 2D world are totally enmeshed, and you can escape it.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because I remember when my siblings and I would get together with our friends, we would have this kind of like weird competition of like, when did you make your Hotmail ID? And there were folks who would be like, oh, in grade 6. Yeah. And someone would be like, actually, I did it in grade 5. And then there was someone who's like, actually, I wasn't allowed until grade 8. And it's like, big boo.
Yeah, big loser. Yeah. I integrated early.
Yeah.
The second I get my grubby little paws on making an online profile, I had a website when I was like 10 called Tasha's World. Like, I was I know. I had cursory HTML knowledge. It didn't matter because it was early web 2.0. I was a force. And now I think a combination of age, like, let's not lie, I've been doing this for long enough that we're going to be a little bit fatigued of it, right? Yeah. And then also change, because I am not used to what the platforms want of me. Before, you know, what the internet at large wanted from me was like, put in a stupid username. You can be anonymous. You can be you.
Have an avatar, nudge your friend.
Oh my goodness.
Be so annoying on main and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that seems lost. Yeah. And that maybe I just don't know because I don't participate as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want my real self. I don't want my whole self. I don't want...
The self is what sells.
Yeah.
Now.
That's
and
true.
And you can't hide behind being an innocent devil at Hotmail.com anymore.
Was that yours?
That was my friend's.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I know. It's very wholesome.
I have come from cooltish at hotmail.com to just Tasha Hefford at Gmail. Ugh. And that is the metaphor, everybody.
Yeah.
That is it right there.
It's an analogy.
Do you remember when you changed your original Hotmail over to just your name at Gmail? Because that was the moment you crossed
gotta
over.
You gotta be profesh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No longer random and awkward.
Yeah. And... you know, a lot of things you say are just so interesting, and I'm like deep listening, and then I'm like, oh, okay, what were my thoughts? But yeah, no, advertisers are no longer targeting you and me. We're not hotcakes anymore, which in some ways is freeing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But women are also never left alone.
Oh, no.
Not for too long. No. You can't get away for too long.
No, they're going to haunt us in our graves.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no. So, again, I mean, TikTok and all of that. I mean, I am very privy to it because, again, you can't escape it because there's, like, so much amalgamation and cross-section, so a lot of TikTok content is on YouTube and in all these essays that Tasha and I love to watch, and Instagram. But I think something that really caught my eye is I was reading this article which referenced the millennial pause, and I was like, why are you attacking me on a Wednesday? It was actually coined by, and I will butcher their at, it's at Nisibisa, who's a YouTuber and TikToker, and they made a video about basically how even Taylor Swift can't avoid the cringy pause in her videos just to make sure she's recording. So basically, what is the millennial pause? It's when you're recording a video and you really lack the confidence because you're not sure if your phone is actually recording. So there is this awkward, maybe 15-second pause, which feels like it's 3 minutes. And I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, damn, all the TikToks I watch, like an old person, I have to rewatch them because they happen so fast. It's 10 seconds and it's done. And I'm like, oh, wait, what happened? Because in my brain, that's how I'm programmed. I'm waiting that there's going to be a little bit of a pause and then they're going to get into it. And I think of the in the early aughts, whole channels at YouTube, they would be just like fiddling with the camera and like making sure everything looks okay, and then get into the content. And I was so used to it, but now with obviously being bombarded with so much content, like, and our attention spans are absolutely horrible. Nobody has time for that.
No.
Awkward pause.
No. It's true. And I also think that there used to be dramatized pauses. If I think back to early YouTube days when people were vlogging and YouTube diaries and the like, where you would have this like bloody 10 second to like 2 minutes of just like the camera is focusing, maybe the person is like fiddling with their hair and going okay, so
and it's size,
like, yeah,
and it's like, and I don't know, it was like
stylized pause.
Yeah, and I don't know, I didn't think too much of it. It's like, yeah, sure. But now it's like, okay, like, get to your thing, right? And those dramatic zoom-ins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you have experienced the, like, being sort of kicked out of popular culture moment when someone points out something that you do instinctively that you didn't realize was not what everyone else did instinctively.
Yeah.
And the we here being, like, the literal every single person who's online all the time and not just the few who think it's really funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's so fascinating. It's actually fascinating where we were in on the joke and it was all like, okay, yeah, okay, boomer and everything. But it's like, no, actually, the tables have turned and we're part of the joke. And it's like a lot of videos popping up about millennial parody and millennial humor being like a certain way or like cringe, and like a lot of younger folks trying to dissect it. Like, what was that about?
I mean, here's the thing. I find generational wars like dodgy at best. I don't totally buy it. I know that, I mean, realistically, we're all born during certain time periods. But I think what we're talking about with generations is like the things that are in the cultural zeitgeist that we're all looking at the same time. And I find that I'm looking at the same things that a lot of youth culture is looking at right now, because like the world is obsessed with youth culture, let's be honest.
Always has.
It's like the pinnacle of everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel in a lot of ways, maybe just because I was born in 91, that like I'm still recognizing the same things that I think are funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm moving with what happens, I guess, in terms of like humor and like culture. But the new internet experience, I guess Web 3.0, even though no one can seem to really define it, it feels like it's a camera on self, like recording you physically,
yeah,
moving
all the time.
And I'm not used to that. And I can say that for sure. I mean, if I were to even attempt to film myself speaking and put it online, I would A, cry, and B, I would pause. Of course I'd pause. Maybe I would try to edit it profusely because
I would have at least 10 takes.
Yeah. There's no way. I'm not fluid in that language. Like that is so difficult. And props to people who can do it, because that is a prime mode of communication right now, is filming oneself And then that you use that as your way to talk to other people. Peer-to-peer is not just like DMs or forum posts anymore.
It's everybody now.
Yeah.
It's just out in the void. And yeah, just responding to what you were talking about earlier is I find generational warfare is often fake, if you will, because they just seemed to be, I don't know, it just seems like it can feel forced in some ways. And this is just a pattern we've seen time immemorial, and it's going to go on. So it's like nothing new. And why are we kind of so obsessed with generational conflicts or like pitting people against each other? Because also just talking about like sociopolitically, I don't think it does any good to anybody. We can always, even just to put it very simply, we can always learn from one another, and we're all learning at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. As I think of when you're watching, this is like a dumb example, when you're watching a movie and someone with you just thinks that you've for some reason seen the movie and they're asking you all these questions and you're like, I'm experiencing this in the same time as you are, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting to look at it that way.
That is a great metaphor.
Thank you.
That is exactly the feeling. Because you're both looking at the same thing and you may be perceiving it differently based on your situated knowledge, but you're both looking at the same movie.
Yeah. And I am someone who's, very nerdy about pop culture and language and whatever you will. And I like to think that I like to, I don't know, be just, if not part of the zeitgeist, but really, I guess, informed in some ways, right? Just like being a writer and working in community media. It's also, it's my job, but also like a passion project. I mean, it's so fascinating. And I think a lot of it can also be metaphorical, like thinking of it as more of a metaphorical age. Like I'm sure there are a lot of younger folks who don't really resonate with the Gen Z culture, and they feel like, oh, maybe like they're older or they don't know much or they're not like too ingrained in the pop culture. But like you and I often, I don't know, like to keep up with trends and whether we like them or not, just like what are people talking about, because you being an artist and being the editor of Discorder, where all your writers are really young folks, so like it's kind of your job to like know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these jobs because we just have this morbid fascination, and I keep saying morbid fascination because it's like I love it sometimes and I hate it sometimes, but ultimately I'm curious.
That's a good way to put it. This is a really good way to put it. Ultimately I am curious too. And ultimately I'm not ready or willing or have any desire to give up pursuing the things that I find interesting, funny, cool, weird.
No.
It's a weird like traditional lifestyle thought that you, I guess, begin to throw out like bits of media and culture as you get older and you're no longer as attached to them. But I find myself doing the opposite. I'm more attached to like internet history and archiving different moments of like NetSpeak past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more attached to music and writing the older I get, and I want it to keep being weird and keep evolving, and I like seeing it change, you know? Like I don't think we're on the Luddite side of things where we're like, no technology, I don't like the way it's changing.
No.
I know that we can admit that we're both not like people who like putting our faces online necessarily, but we definitely live solidly in that world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just, I guess, going back to the talking about generational conflicts or whatever, which sometimes can often be peddled by corporations or advertisers, or maybe this is just me being really cynical, but I also don't get offended if someone is using millennial humor as like prerogative. It's like that's fine. You're doing that to me, Gen Alpha will do that to you. Like it's chill, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like not that deep.
It's not. And I thrive in nostalgia. I'm not going to lie. Once I figure out that something it's past its prime, I'm like, I'm rubbing my little greedy palms together. I'm like, oh boy, can't wait to let it go. Yeah, can't wait to never let it go. That's why we're talking about the random awkward moment, because like, have we let this go? No.
Yeah. And just also thinking about what, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just, it's fun to tease older people when you're young and you think you're the cool shit, you're the hot cake. I mean, that's fine. Like, we did that and the generation now is doing it and it's going to continue on.
Like, listen, wait till you experience ego death.
Oh, just yeah.
Talk to me when all your hopes and dreams have been crushed.
See you on the other side. But something that I was reading, which I thought was actually such a great point, is maybe the reason why these silly, or not silly, but kind of like facetious generational warfare, or kind of like OK Boomer or millennial humor and all of that tends to exist, is because youth culture and often young folks in their late teen years or early 20s, the only power they really have is cultural capital and social capital, right? They have cultural mm-hmm. currency. They know what's up and that's it. And it's a way for them to feel empowered.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's nothing more empowering than laughing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is an accidental beautiful statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And people also, and there's also this like bitterness that we all experience, right? Because aging is just obviously such a part of life and people hate feeling old and uncool. And so it's really just, I don't know, circle of life, as Lion King said.
Mm-hmm. And I think something also important to mention at seeing the awkward random come to the end of its line is also just the end of that sort of self-deprecating infantilization moment, and maybe a move into something that is like more self-empowered that we're seeing.
Bad
because,
bitch.
Yeah,
era.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would have never, and probably still won't ever, call myself a bad bitch. That feels so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I wish I could, but I actually just physically can't. I will feel ill.
I lack the will and presence to utter the words bad bitch about myself. I also don't put my face and body and anything remotely real of myself online, like instinctually. Like, I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm just not used to it. So perhaps part of it is that I'm not used to really celebrating myself in the way that a lot of people are celebrating themselves on social media, which kind of like is the wiping away of being super awkward and bringing in like confidence as cultural currency. And
totally. I mean, that's how we made friends. I'm awkward. You're awkward. Let's be besties.
Yeah.
And
it's all you needed to become friends.
And really, in a lot of ways, random and awkward was a metaphor for obscurity. It's like, oh, actually, wouldn't it be great to not exist and not show face? And you're just kind of somewhere in the void of the internet, floating around.
This is perhaps too meddling of me, but I also think about random and awkward was particularly during my emo scene phase. And it was a really good time. And I love it. And I'm not ashamed. That's not irony. That's real. We also all had these stupid, silly bangs that covered our face and wore our like hoodies up around our heads, and we were like doing everything we could to like shroud ourselves and curl inwards and be smaller and not seen.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's something that I gleaned from being online and being anon for so long, that in real life you almost want to be anon as well. And you're experiencing awkward teen years, et cetera. But there's something there between that lack of visibility and then, you know, doing everything you can to also shroud yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was just something poetic about that is, yeah, I am not celebrating myself, but it's okay.
Yeah.
In some ways, you know, because a lot of us are kind of going through the same of like, oh, actually, I'm feeling a lot of discomfort in my body. A lot of my worldview is shifting, or I'm moving away from like how my parents viewed the world, and just kind of trying to make peace with being okay with being random and awkward instead of trying to package it in like a live, laugh, love, speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah. We have 2 minutes before we end our first episode.
Wow. Okay. I don't even know what to say at
Any
this point.
Any words of wisdom from Tasha Haffery?
Yeah. Much feels very insight. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with the transition of things. I think ultimately, us all being collectively online, mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. If anything, it takes language as this sort of like crazy thing that we're all collaborating on, and it like sets it on fire, and it like throws it in a hamster wheel, and it just keeps going, and now we're just churning out word after word after word and concept after concept, and this is ultimately something that we're going to talk about more on this show.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for us not letting it go, because there are too many words and concepts that we want to like pry open and maybe get too deep about, like we did with this one.
Absolutely. We're goblins day in and day night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Earnest.
Okay, sweet. This was so much fun. I can't wait to chat with you again. Same time every Wednesday at 4 p.m. We're Goblins, only on CADR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Okay, I hope everybody enjoys the sun.
Thanks for listening.
Go touch some grass.
I won't.
Bye.
Bye.